Welcome to Shir and Shemi Shmuel Parshish Shlach. I wanted to see a piece tonight, and we'll see a little bit of a continuation of this piece, touching on the mitzvah of tzitzis. Mitzvah of tzitzis, of course, as we know, is the last section of Parshish Shlach. It's a mitzvah which, although we read about it, Parshish Shlach, it's an ongoing mitzvah. It's a mitzvah we're involved with perpetually. And I thought it'd be appropriate to share these beautiful words in the Shemi Shmuel. This is from Shnas Tofresh Ayin Dalid, 1914. And for those who have a sefer, it's on page Resh Yud Tes. Yesh li hisbonein b'mitzvah tzitzis. There's what to contemplate when it comes to the mitzvah tzitzis as follows. Shalavon utcheles isto bisvarim shehem avo v'yira. Of course, we know the classic mitzvah of tzitzis is to have part of the tzitzis are white, part of the tzitzis are tcheles, whatever color tcheles is exactly, blue, black, you know, something like that. So the svarim write that lavon and tcheles correspond to ahava and yira, to love of God and fear of God. V'yodua shesarech lahakdim yira, right? Love on he's going to go on to say is associated with ava, with love. Tcheles is associated with yira, and yet we know that in terms of one's own avodas Hashem, yira is typically taken to be the first madrego, and then one moves on to ava, to love of God, as a higher madrego, as a higher level. So that's how we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First we develop a healthy sense of Yiras Shamayim, and then a sense of Avas Hashem. If that's the case, right? And yet we find within the mitzvah of tzitzis that the mitzvah of lavan, of ava, comes first, before the mitzvah of putting on the tcheles, which seems to imply symbolically that you're putting ava before yira. Whereas in our Avodas Hashem, usually Yira is supposed to come before Av. Right? To compound the question a little bit, and this, Bez Hashem, if we have time, we'll try to see a little bit later on tonight. Nowadays, where certainly the consensus of many is that there is no mitzvah tcheles anymore that we're able to perform. So it comes out that our tzitzis are entirely white, in which case it's all about Ahava, and there seems to be no element of Yira reflected in our tzitzis whatsoever. So that's also disturbing. In other words, yes, okay, Avas Hashem is a wonderful madrega, but don't you need Yiras Hashem somewhere in the equation in order to be able to strengthen that and to serve at the very least as the prelude to Avas Hashem? That particular question we'll try to come back to in a little bit, but first he wants to understand why the lavan comes before the tcheles. Seemingly putting the Ava before the Yira.
Can you be an observant Jew if you just have Yira?
You can be an observant Jew, but there's still ways to go. In other words, all of our...
all is to reach Ava.
Right, all of our service of God is not simply to be observant, but to try to add, additional layers and deeper...
How would you know when it changes from one to another?
Right, okay, so maybe we'll talk about that a little bit as we go on. So, v'nira d'inei amr chazal b'schar she'omar Avram im michut zachu banav l'chut shel tcheles. Right, there's Gemara in Chulin, and the Gemara says that when Avram Avinu was confronted by the Melech Stone, and the King of Stone offered to give Avram Avinu all of the spoils from the victory in the war against the four kings, so Avraham Avinu said, I don't even want to take a thread from you. So in the schus that he said, as a reward for saying, I don't want to take even a thread from you, the Ribbono Shel Olam granted Avraham Avinu and his children the chut shel tcheles, the thread of tcheles in the tzitzis. So note what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say that Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of tzitzis as a reward for saying im michut v'yadzroch na'al. It says that Avraham Avinu was given the tcheles of the tzitzis. as a reward for saying imichut v'yad sroch na'al. It's very suggestive that it's not the mitzvah of tzitzis in its entirety, but something about the tcheles per se, which was the schar for Avram Avinu. Why is that? Bir hadvarim. Dinei yodua shemidoslo shem Avram hu ahava, zera Avram oavi, umidoslo shel Yitzchak kiyir, kemoshikosav v'vachot Yitzchak ha'yali. We know that to the extent to which we can associate the Avos HaKadoshim with various different drachim, with various different ways of engaging in Avodas Hashem. So Avraham Avinu is typically associated with Ahava, with love of God. And Yitzchak Avinu, his son, is the one who's associated with, to a greater extent, with, you know, Yiras Hashem, with fear of God. How do we know that? It's Tzukim, Zera Avraham Oavi. Right, the pasuk in Yeshayahu refers to Avraham who loves me, and the God of Yitzchak is referred to as Pachad Yitzchak, right, the one who was feared by Yitzchak. So already in Tanakh we find Ava associated with Avraham and Yira associated with Yitzchak. Okay, good. So hold on a second. The Imkain. L'chora ha'yitzarach li'os lavan b'zchusta shel Avram u'tcheles b'zchusta shel Yitzchak v'lama amur sh'tcheles nami b'zchusta shel Avram. So in light of that identification of Ava with Avram and Yira with Yitzchak, we would expect, going into the tzitzis, to see lavan being associated with Avram, tcheles being associated with Yitzchak. If lavan equals Ava equals Avram, and Tcheles equals Yira equals Yitzchak, that would seem to be the right lineup of everything. And yet, the Gemara in Chulin is saying that in the Schus of Avram, we were Zoche to the Tcheles. No, we were Zoche to the Lavan, right? In other words, the Gemara in Chulin should have said, when Avram Avinu said to the Melech Sdom, Im Michut v'imekach mikol asher lach, so the Ribbono Shel Olam should have given Avram and his children the Lavan Shebet Tzitzis. Right? Instead, the pasuk, the Gemara talks about that we were zochet to the tcheles shibbet tzitzis. Why? Again, why? Tcheles should be Yitzchak's zechia. So he writes as follows. Ach is yira v'is yira. Which probably is translated directly from the Yiddish. Is yira v'is yira. There's yira and there's yira. Right? In other words, there are two different types of Yiras Shomayim. Yesh Yiras Shehi Machmas Te'iu Rav V'Shalit V'Zeu Nikreis Yiras Shomayim. Right, there's one type of Yira that says, I recognize that God is an awesome, incredible power, that He's the ruler in the world, and I have a certain fear / awe / reverence from the Ribbon Kol HaOlamim. Right, I realize that God is an awesome and mighty and powerful force that fills me up with a sense of trembling. K'mosh shamati b'shem kavod kedushas Admar Harim Migur Pirish Yiras Shamayim K'mosh Shamayim She'amdu Migarosso. And he quotes the following from the Chedushi Harim, the first Gerer Rebbe. Why do we call it Yiras Shamayim? Right? Why do we call it the fear of heaven? It's not Yiras Shamayim. You know how Yiras Shamayim, in the literal sense of the word? Chicken Little. The sky is falling. That's if you want to translate literally. That's Yiras Shamayim. Right? When we say Yiras Shamayim, we mean we have a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why do we call it Yiras Shamayim? So said the Chedushei Arim, it's not Yira from the Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim means the same Yira that the Shamayim had in the beginning of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Shamayim, stop expanding and make room for the rest of the world. And the Shamayim trembled and it stood. Right? And it held back the waters. So, Yiras Shamayim, says the Chedushei Harim, is the Yira that the Shamayim had. It doesn't mean that we have fear of God who's up in the heavens, which is the way we normally translate. It's not fear of heaven, it's the fear heaven had. That's what Chedushei Harim says. So what is that fear? You know, was the Shamayim afraid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to slap it? What does that mean? In other words, the Shamayim had a healthy respect for God as the Creator. We too, if we have a healthy respect for God as the Creator, we will tremble at God's word, and, you know, do our utmost to not violate it. Lo machmas tikvas char v'yiras onesh. The Shamayim was not afraid of God's punishment. The Shamayim had awe and reverence for God's very essence. So that's Yiras Shamayim. Now again, we're going to see that the Shem Yishmuel is not even addressing the lowest level of Yiras Shamayim, what we call Yiras Ha'onesh, the fear of punishment. He's not even talking about that. When he's going to talk about the two different types of Yiras Shamayim, the first type of Yiras Shamayim is what we might call Yiras Haromimus. Right, a sense of fear and awe from the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's not even racist.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay. All right. I hear. I'm not sure, but we'll leave that as a side point for right now. The Yesh Yira. There's another type of yira. That type of yira is the type of yira that a person has that he shouldn't lose all of his possessions in one fell swoop, that he shouldn't lose everything like that, right? In other words, in human terms, if you have a lot of money, you're self-conscious about it, you're conscientious about the wealth, and you hope that it's not going to be lost. There's a parallel spiritual concept to this. When a person has achieved any madrega in ruchnius, he worries lest he lose it. Right? If you have something precious, you're afraid that it will get lost. That fear that the ruchnius you have will get lost is a different type of Yiras Shamayim. In a sense, it's not Yira from Hashem in a direct sense. I mean, obviously, ultimately, it's a Yira from Hashem, but it's a desire to hold on to what you have. Right? It's much the same way that a person who has physical property desires to hold on to that property. In Ruchnius also, we want to be able to hold on to whatever we've achieved in Ruchnius. And that absorbs us. And you know, if you're serious about your ruchnius, you'll be a little worried, maybe a little more than a little worried, that you shouldn't lose what you achieved. Shivada im osa meistem bilti nirtzim Hashem yisparach, hare al yideza yafsik hachibur. Right? Because certainly if you're going to do bad things, you're going to sever, or at the very least, weaken the connection between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that would be terrible. That would be an act of folly. That would be an act of a fool who's given something and throws it overboard. So again, to put it into human terms, when we have wealth, we're worried to preserve it. In human terms, when we have relationships, we worry about preserving them. If you have a very good friend, you know, you worry about, you know, not doing something to offend that friend. Right? Not because he's necessarily, you know, awesome in the sense that you're afraid of what he's going to do to you, or that, you know, he inspires a certain reverence, but just, if I have a relationship, I'm very worried about damaging the relationship. If I don't have a relationship with somebody, I'm less worried about, you know, what I might do to, you know, lessen our relationship. You know, okay, if the mailman doesn't like me so much, if I don't have a relationship with my mailman, you know, it's okay. I mean, as long as he delivers the mail, he doesn't have to be my best friend. But if I do something to offend my best friend, that fills me with a sense of dread. That feels, you know, I'm worried lest I do something to offend a friend. V'nei Yiras Shamayim kanal himiras Yitzchak. The first type of Yiras Shamayim, which we described, in other words, the recognition that God is awesome and all-powerful, and therefore I can't do anything which is going to be a sin, because how could I possibly violate the will of God? That's the Yiras Shamayim of Yitzchak. Achayira shelo yovad es hadveikus, hi nifsmachas mikoach ha'alva v'hadveikus. But the second type of Yira which we spoke about, again, let's call it not so much fear, but concern. The concern that I will do something to damage a relationship, you know, to damage the relationship I have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that kind of concern He nitzmachas mikarach ahava badvekus. That goes hand in hand with love. It's because I love Hashem that I'm afraid I'm going to do something to somehow weaken the relationship I have with Hashem. That worry goes hand in hand with the love. Umishu oeh biyoster, yeshlo yira zo biyoster. The more you love someone, the more you have that worry and that fear that you not do anything to affect that love. Again, I think maybe fear is not a good word. I think concern is a good word. You know, in English, again, if you have a loving relationship with someone, there's a great deal of concern that you have lest you damage that relationship. You know, the better the relationship, the more the concern is there that the relationship remain intact. That second type of yira is that concern. The himi doso shel Avram. Avram Avinu has an element of yira in that sense. I mean, obviously Avraham Avinu also has Yiras Shamayim in the sense of Yitzchak, but the idea of Yira, which is particularly pronounced when it comes to Avraham Avinu, is that type of Yira, the Yira of concern. In other words, Avraham Avinu is so much in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Avraham Avinu also walks around thinking, let me be extra special careful not to damage that incredible relationship with which I have with Hashem Yisparach. The Ahava and the concern go together. Mikomakom Amar Avram Vlotomar Niya Sharti as Avram Purish Rashi Shakodish Borfu if Tihani Lost Rani the Abshikvar Hoya Oshri Baladezev and his time Master Shemi Spar of Omar Ali Ashrayu Mikomakom Rolosarit Sari Fla Ashiris Shiloh as Rukush Sidom Fahino Mishum Sha Osher Habolo Meashem Yisporah Hurak Tov Ubirkas Hashem Hita Ashir Fellow Yosef Esev Imo. So says the Shemi Shmuel as follows. Why was it that Avraham Avinu turned down the offer of money and property from the king of Sodom? And here he doesn't ask the Kasha, but the Kasha is asked by other, you know, Mefarshim, including the Rishonim. Avraham Avinu was fine taking the money from Paro, right? When Avraham Avinu was in Mitzrayim, and Paro said, just get out of here and, you know, take the money and run. You know, here's the money, here's the gold, here's the silver, get out of here. And that's essentially what made Avraham Avinu rich, right? Avraham Avinu had no problem with that, right? Right, exactly. To the Bnei Keturah. Right, so, but still, the kasha is the kasha. In other words, if Avraham Avinu says to the king of Sodom, I don't want to take a penny from you, no one should say that you're the one who made Avraham Avinu rich, why didn't that same logic apply to taking the money from Paro? No one should say, I mean, Paro effectively made Avraham Avinu rich, he did. Right? So Avraham Avinu was so, you know, reluctant to take anything from the king of Sodom. But from Paro, yeah, sure, yeah, yeah, just how many zeros? You know, he's totally ready to take it. So wherein lies the difference? So, again, the Shemesh Shmuel doesn't answer this kasha, but what the Shemesh Shmuel says, I think, is going to answer the kasha. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, what was the reluctance of Avraham Avinu to take from the king of Sodom? So he says, Avraham Avinu said, as Rashi explains, no one should say that I'm getting money on the side from the king of Sodom, but rather, everyone should recognize that the money I'm getting comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For me to be perceived as getting side money is, in a sense, a slap in the face, kivyachol, to the Ribono Shel Olam. And as if you have a very demanding job, and you take a side job to earn a little bit of extra money. This very demand, you know, you work for Google, I don't know, you know, and you sleep at Google, you eat at Google, you know, and, you know, everything you do is over there. And you say, you know, I'm going to do some tutoring on the side. So in a sense, it's a slap in the face to the employer who expects you to be there, you know, 24-6, you know, to be totally absorbed in everything that's Google. Right? So Avraham Avinu says, my relationship is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want anything else getting involved in that relationship. Not the king of stone. I, Paro. Right? So, with Paro, the Ribbono Shel Olam essentially told Avraham Avinu that you're going to go down to Mitzrayim and get these matanos from Paro, because that's going to set the stage for Klal Yisrael going down to Mitzrayim and getting wealth from the Mitzrayim in a later generation. So although Paro is the one giving the money and the gifts to Avraham Avinu, it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving that through Paro. So, you know, if that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to Avraham Avinu, so he's getting the money from Paro is not a, you know, it's not a negation of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's because, you know, one particular person in Google gives you the check, it doesn't mean that you're not having a relationship with Google as a whole. In other words, that was the derech through which you get the matanos, the zav and the kesef. But when it came to the king of stone, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not communicate to Avraham Avinu that I'm going to send you money through the king of stone. So for him to take money from the king of stone is taking it's his side income, right? So that he doesn't feel that he has the right to do. In any case, so Avraham Avinu's refusal to take money from the king of stone is an expression of the love that he has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his concern lest he do anything to undermine that love in some way. Oh, what are you demonstrating, Avraham Avinu? You're demonstrating that protective yira, that yira of concern, lest an ava relationship be somehow hurt or damaged in the process. Oh, so if that's the case, so therefore, the alkain bischus she'amar im michut shehi yira shelo yikalkelas ha'ahava. His refusal to take anything was a demonstration of that unique type of yira, the yira that protects ahava. Zachu banav lechut shel tcheles. That's why Avraham Avinu's children were zoche to the tcheles specifically. Again, the tcheles, which is the protection of the ahava, the yira, which is the protection of ahava. Umimot saw davar. What comes out? Okay, so before we do that, actually, for a moment, let's go to Yaakov's question from before for a moment. Avraham Avinu, in all that he's called Avraham Oavi, is also described as the Yirei Elokim. Ato yodati ki Yirei Elokim ato. After the Akedah, Avraham Avinu is described as being a Yirei Elokim, someone who has Yiras Shamayim, right? Perhaps the way to interpret that pasuk, again, I think you can interpret that pasuk as saying, now I know that you have an unbelievable level of Yiras Shamayim, but perhaps the way to interpret that pasuk as per the Shemi Shmuel is, now I see that you have that protective type of yira that won't let anything stand in the way of ahava. What do you mean by that? Avraham Avinu has a love relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when Avraham Avinu is told, you know, that love relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that you're going to have to potentially sacrifice your son. So we could definitely understand that Avraham Avinu would say, look, you know, God, I love you, but, right? The yira that Avraham Avinu demonstrates is demonstrative of the idea that he doesn't want to let anything come between the ava that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the ava that he has for his own son, right? And that yira protects the ava, right? And maybe that's, again, he doesn't say this, but according to the Shevi Shmuel, maybe, Ato yadati ki yirei Elokim ato. Now I understand that you fear lest that ava relationship with Elokim, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be destroyed in some way. What do we take away from all of this? The tcheles represents not the standard yiras shamayim. The tcheles represents the yira, which is the concern which protects the ahava, that unique type of yira. Al kein mitzvah lahakdim lavan shehi ava shehi hi hamolido es hayira. So based on that, we can understand why the lavan comes first and only the tcheles. The tcheles only makes sense as a way of protecting the lavan. The lavan is ava. In other words, primarily, what is tzitzis about? Primarily, tzitzis is about cultivating ahavas Hashem. However, there's an insurance policy that's built into the tchelis. The insurance policy of Ahava is this unique type of yira, the yira which protects the Ahava. So too in the tzitzis, there's a tchelis which is there to protect the lover. Right? Now, just to comment as follows, and again, we're going to, Be'ez Hashem, after Ma'ariv, see a brief piece from a different year where he elaborates on this in an interesting direction. We know that the mitzvah of tzitzis applies even when we don't have tchelis, right? Again, according to most people nowadays, you know, we don't have tchelis, we're still wearing tzitzis even though there's only lava, right? Just the absence of tchelis is not ma'akev the lava. On a hashkafic level, you got to wonder why that's true. Because after all, it would seem, just reading the psukim, that the tchelis is an integral part of the mitzvah of tzitzis. I mean, you know, again, the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us, you know, the tchelis reminds us of the yam and the rakia, the kiseyat kovod, you know. Okay, so you would think the tchelis is the most important part of the tzitzis. So how could it be that you would have a mitzvah, I mean, hashkafically, forget about the fact that it's true halachically, but hashkafically, how do you understand the fact that there's a mitzvah of tzitzis without the tchelis? I mean, it sounds like, you know, lahavdil, it sounds like a mitzvah of tefillin without the parshios inside the tefillin. That's what it sounds like, right? But according to this idea from the Shem Mishvah, which we'll see, he'll elaborate upon it, we can understand it a little bit better. Really, the ikar of the tzitzis is the lava, which represents the ahava. The tchelis is an additional knech within the tzitzis, which is the yira, which preserves the ahava. So that's much easier to understand now why you could have a mitzvah without the tchelis, because okay, maybe the ahava is not as strong without the yira preserving it, but it's still there, right? The idea of the ahava being the basic idea of the tzitzis is still, you know, still present, even in the absence of the insurance policy, the tchelis, which is meant to surround them. Be'ez Hashem, after Ma'ariv, we're going to add a short piece from an earlier year, from Tofresh Ayin, where he discusses this idea of the absence of tchelis today, and adds some interesting things, which we'll add on to this. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzak Kodesh Bo. Okay, so this is the second half of the Shem Yishmol Shir Parsha Shlach. This is from Shnas Tofresh Ayin Aleph, 1911. This page Reish in the Svarim. We spoke about in the first section the interplay between the Lavan and the Tchelis of the Tzitzis, that the Lavan represents the idea of Avas Hashem, which the Tzitzis are about, and the Tchelis is Yiras Hashem, but a special type of Yiras Hashem, the Yira that the Ava not be lost. In other words, the concern and the care for the Ava, that it not be squandered in some way. That's the idea which we saw, from Tofresh Ayin Dalet. 3 years before that, in Tofresh Ayin Aleph, the Sokot Shavar asked this following question: Lahavin Lama Nignazah Tcheles. You know, we haven't had Tcheles for hundreds of years. Why is it that the Ribbono Shalom caused the Tcheles to disappear? It's obviously not just by happenstance, right? Clearly God had a reason for quote unquote taking the tchelis away. So why did he do that? So he offers the following interesting suggestion. What? Right? So again, as he said later on, Lavan is Ahava, Tchelis is Yira. Hainu shachut shebelavan Moshech Ahava la'odah mehechal Ahava. What does that mean? It means the Lavan brings down Ahava upon the person from the chamber of Ahava up in the heavens. But Tchelis Moshechas Yira la'odah. And by wearing Tchelis, you bring down Yira into yourself. You bring into yourself a certain degree of Yira. And he quotes the following. I think we've quoted this in the past, but it's a fascinating idea. K'mosha Amar Zekeni Mikotsk Harebi Zecher Tzadik Livracha, right? That he quoted B'shem Harebi Mibarditchev Zecher Tzadik Livracha. My Zayde the Kotsk Rebbe quoted from the Kedushas Levi, right? Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev. That the Rebbe is Zecher Tzadik Livracha miBerdichev Pasach Heicha LaAva Adet Shenimso Ava Gedolo Ben Achasidim. My Zayde, the Kvatska Rebbe said that the Berdichever opened up the gates of Ava up in heaven, and he brought down a tremendous amount of Ava among the Chassidim. He himself, Levi Yitzchak, was the commensurate Oev Hashem, Oev Yisrael. He brought down Ava into the world. But when the tzaddikim of that generation saw that the tremendous ahava which the Berdichever brought into the world had bad effects, it caused people to love things and people that they shouldn't love so much. It's not clear exactly what he's referring to, but perhaps he has in mind the Haskalah, right? In other words, that the Haskalah started around the time that Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev was active, the so-called Enlightenment. So Reb Levi Yitzchak Berdichev brought down Ahava into the world. So people started loving all kinds of things, including things that they shouldn't love so much. So therefore, Nimnu v'stagru esahecha. So the Chassidim, or the Rebbes, went and they closed that chamber of love that's up in heaven. V'alkein ein koyes kolkach Ahava ben ha-chassidim, k'mo ben ha-chassidim shel ha-Baal Shem Tov. And that's, as Kotzker says, that's why nowadays there isn't as much love between the Hasidim as there was in the good old days of the Baal Shem Tov. What does that mean? So the Kotzker is commenting on a historical phenomena, and he's giving it a spiritual twist. In the early days of Chassidus, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem, and in particular Magid of Mezrich, were a very unified group by and large. Right? Now, as we know, there's the concept of Chevraya Kadisha, you know, the holy circle that gathered around the Mezrich or Magid, you know, there was the sense of camaraderie that they had. And we also know as Hasidus developed, so there were, like most movements, right, there were many fights between different groups of Hasidim, different Rebbes, splinter groups, you know, Machloksim, right? So, okay, that's a historical phenomenon. How do you look at that historical phenomenon? If you're a historian, so I guess you say, you know, as any group develops, naturally there are going to be certain divisions within the group. You know, as it goes from being a group of tzaddikim to a movement, right? When something becomes a movement, so guess what? You know, you have different factions within the movement. That's life. But the Kotzker didn't look at it from a historical perspective. He said from a spiritual perspective, Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev brought Ava into the world. But that Ava was a little bit in overabundance. So they closed the gates of Ahava. Okay, so it corrected some of the overabundance of Ava that was there, but it also led, the side result, was that it led to more animosity between different groups of Hasidim, because that abundance of Ava that the Berdichever brought into the world was no longer there. Interesting perspective. What's that got to do with us? Well, if he's the Nuchal Lomar, Shazel Mitzvah Tatcheles Al Alovon, Laman Shayirish Al Yedeh Tatcheles Tatsuris Ava, Hamashucha Al Yedeh Alovon, Shlotesi Lichitsonius. The Yira of the Tcheles is a corrective to the Lovon, to the Ava of the Lovon. Now, this is slightly different than what he said before. Right? Here he's saying Yira means Yira in the simple sense of the term. But Ava always has to be tempered by Yira. If you have unfettered Ava without any Yira to counterbalance it, their Ava can run amok. The guy who loves God, but doesn't have any fear of God, is going to run into problems. Right. Nadav and Aviyu, right? It's a classic example, possibly, of that. Well, if he's there, Yuvan Mashemitzvah Lahakdim Halavan Latchelas. That's why the Lavan comes before the Tcheles, because even though normally Yira comes before Ava, here the Ava is in place first, and the Yira, the Tcheles, tempers it. He quotes from the Siddur of the Rav, of the Balatanya. that once Yerushalayim was destroyed, you can't really have too much real pure Yiras Shamayim anymore, because pure Yiras Shamayim in our own day and age would destroy a person. When there was a Mikdash, Yiras Shamayim was healthy and it served to keep us on the right path. In the aftermath of the Churban, where we're all depressed anyway, real Yiras Shamayim would destroy us. Interesting perspective. So that's, he says, it was not long after the Churban where Tcheles disappeared. Because in our own day and age, we can't handle too much of that Yira holding back the Ahava. We just need the pure Ahava, and we'll worry about the Yira some other time. Now, again, I'm sure the Sakhachavar is not saying we don't need Yiras Shamayim. That's not his point. But in other words, a good dose of Yiras Shamayim, like the good old days, we can't handle anymore. So the Tcheles was taken away so that the Tzitzis nowadays is pure Ahava without that admixture of Yira, which might have been more necessary for a different day and age. Right, so, you know, it doesn't seem like Sakhachev would have bought into Radzin, you know, and, you know, the attempt to reinstitute the Tcheles that started with the Radzina Rebbe and, you know, continue the different forms through our own day. But it's an interesting idea, and, you know, if we take this idea and bring it to what we were speaking about before Mincha, before Ma'ariv rather, namely the idea which he develops a few years later, that the point of the Tcheles is to preserve the Ahava, you know, not to counteract the Ahava. Here he's developing the idea the Yira holds back the Ahava. Later on he develops the idea that the Yira is supposed to be a protection for the Ahava. Maybe the idea behind the absence of Tcheles is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels in our own, you know, since the Tcheles was taken away, that the Tcheles doesn't quite need, the Tzitzis rather, the Ahava doesn't need quite the same degree of protection which it might have required once upon a time. Perhaps we could feel a little bit more confident in our Ahava, that it's not going to slip away so quickly, and the protective measure of the Tcheles, maybe for whatever reason, isn't deemed to be as necessary.
How would one explain the fact that this liberation of Tcheles, where there's been a tremendous, opening our Gishol,
right, so according to the Shem Yishmol, one might suggest, again, if he were to hold of that Tcheles, the Shem Yishmol might suggest that the rediscovery, the reinstitution of Tcheles, is actually a sign of our maturity and our ability to have undiluted Yiras Shamayim in our generation, something which previous generations were not zocha to. If so, that's heavy stuff, you know? Again, I'm not a bar hochi to say with any degree of definitiveness, but it would make the reinstitution of Tcheles, if you hold that that's correct, something that has significance beyond the mitzvah of Tzitzis itself.
Right,
that we're zocha to be able to have the Tcheles, to have that Yiras Shamayim that they were only zocha to have in previous generations. Nope. Alavai we should talk of zocha. We will, Be'ezus Hashem, again, pick up next time, next week, following Mincha, on Wednesday, with Parshas Korach. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Zakel.